Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Anytime we go to the Scriptures, we're looking backwards toward what was written. So we're looking at Scripture that was written in the past to teach us and to give us encouragement. And that's the purpose for our lesson this morning, to teach us and give us encouragement. It comes from chapter 8 of Romans, so if you want to turn back just a couple of pages, beginning with verse number 1 and going through the end of the chapter, we have four encouragements from our Father, our Heavenly Father. And this is what I'd like to share with you this morning. Four encouragements from this chapter. Just a brief moment of teaching about Scripture and the way it was written. We have added the chapters and the verses to a section of Scripture, not God. We did that. It just makes it easier to navigate the Scriptures. So instead of, for example, taking the scroll of the Gospel of John, which was 45 feet long, and unrolling it and then going down and trying to find the spot where we wanted to start, we just have chapters and verses, and we can turn right to a specific verse. But everything was written like a letter, and so was this chapter. There's actually two paragraphs in this chapter, not 39 verses. There are two paragraphs. And out of those two paragraphs, the paragraph starts in chapter 7, verse 7, and goes through chapter 8, verse 14, or 12, and then starts in 8:12 and goes through the end of the chapter. We have two paragraphs. Out of those paragraphs, we will get these encouragements. So please allow me to share with you encouragements that I receive from these two paragraphs, and I pass them on to you for your consideration and possibly your encouragement as well. But I'll start with this illustration. Some time ago, I can't recall even the year, let alone the date, but we were traveling and we had all of our family together and part of Shirley's niece's family with us. And we were traveling together. As we traveled down the road, a concern that we always have is, are we going to have car trouble? And so I was feeling the car do something really odd. You know, it would surge forward and then it'd fall back, surge forward, fall back, surge forward. Oh, great. Transmission's going out on the car. And I thought, okay, what are we going to do with this one? We trust God, we hope in Him and all of this. But this is going on. I thought, well, should we get off the road? What should we do? And then I noticed through my rearview mirror there were a couple of heads in the back seat bobbing back and forth. And one of our children and one of their children were rocking in the car. And it was enough to make the car surge and fall back. That was such a relief. And then I heard this remark from one to the other. Are you still my friend? Are you still my friend? And they would rock some more and then turn to one another. Are you still my friend? Are you still my friend? I find it very comforting that we never have to wonder if God is still our friend. But just to make sure we get that, He has written some encouragements to us. And I'd like to share those with you this morning from this passage.
Oops, I turned it off, didn't I? No, it's still on. Is it not working? Rick, what did I do wrong? Oh, on the keyboard? Nope. Nothing. What am I doing wrong? Is that bad? Is it on here?
No, this is the remote.
Oh, okay. Okay. I think we're on where we should be. Nothing? That's not mine. That's Josiah and Sarah's.
No, that's the USB.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's not the... Okay, so...
Well, the first encouragement is we do not rely on technology in order to be in harmony with God. Sorry, everybody. Oh, back one. Whoops. There we go.
You can use the arrows.
Use the arrow? Okay.
Actually, it's working.
Oh, great. Thank you, Tom. You can explain later what you did. I'll take notes because I won't remember. First assurance. He will never reject our attempts to reach out to him. Never. He begins with verse 1 in chapter 8 by saying, "There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those that are in Christ." It's an interesting word, that condemnation. It has the word judgment as a root, but then a preposition attached to the first of it, which makes it against. The thought is that God is never in Christ ever going to take judgment and crush you with it. I know that it's somewhat a part of our figment of imagination that if we go to heaven and we stand before judgment, that there's going to be a large screen that God's going to show everything that we've ever done wrong, and we're going to have to give an account for that. But that would not be from the Lord, because the Lord is never going to ask us to stand and take his judgment and bring it against us. Because in Christ, how many of our sins have been forgiven? Past? Present, future, there is no condemnation in Christ. He will never reject anyone who wants to reach out to him in faith. Never. Here's another scripture that we could use to understand that. Turn to Acts chapter 17. And beginning with verse number 24. Paul preaching in Athens. Acts 17:24. "The God who made the world and everything in it is Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. The very reason God has us in the place where he has us is to make it possible, to motivate us to reach out for him. Now, if he made us for that, it is highly unlikely that he would ever reject anyone for doing that, for which he made them. He wants us to reach out for him, and he will not reject anyone who does. John 6:37. Starting in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Romans chapter 10. And verse 11. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He will never rescind our adoption. He will never rescind our adoption. God's salvation through the blood of Christ is not like a pen that you could erase. God doesn't do that. He adopts us through Jesus Christ. We are his permanently. And he will never rescind our adoption. Notice verse 15 in chapter 8 of Romans. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we also may share in his glory. We have been adopted into his family through faith, and that will never be rescinded. Look at John chapter 10, verse 27. John 10 and 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, not one. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. He will never recoil from our weaknesses. Verse 26 of Romans 8. He'll never recoil from our weaknesses. Verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. The word helps us would be a, let me use this illustration. In our first building program, in our first church, we wanted to have a unique way of understanding what we were doing. And so we got an old horse-drawn plow. if you know what one of those look like. It has a moldboard up here, and it has two handles coming up. And maybe you've seen it on an old TV program. Somebody's grabbing the handles, and they throw the reins of the horse over their neck, and they go through plowing. And the angle with which you turn it and push it down, tilt it, is how deep and wide you go. Well, we wanted to do something special, so we took our oldest elder, who still farmed with horses, a little bit, just as a novelty as much as anything else, because he had modern tractors. And we put him on the plow, and then we wondered, how are we going to pull this thing? So we decided to get a long barge rope, and it had to accommodate about 200 people. And we tied that rope to the front of the plow where the horse would be hitched. And everybody wondered if we could pull that thing. So we put Wilbur on the plow. We hooked everybody from church on that rope. And they started pulling. And Wilbur just put it in the ground as far as he could. And we pulled that as if it was nothing. This is a picture of what the Spirit does with our weaknesses. We can't accomplish what needs to be accomplished, but God can. And He will, through His Spirit, enable us to be strengthened in our weakness, whatever it is. And He'll not reject us for our weakness. He'll actually come alongside and help us in our weakness, whatever it is. So you have trouble overcoming some sin. Well, that is a weakness. God doesn't reject you because of that. He'll come alongside you and strengthen you to help you overcome that. It may take the length of your life to overcome it, but you can overcome it because God will enable you to. He is not recoiled at our weaknesses. Look at Psalm chapter 103. I mentioned 2 weeks ago that this would be a good part of the psalm to memorize. Let's look at it together. Psalm 103 and beginning with verse number 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He remembers how they are formed. He remembers that we are dust. God is not someone who needs to build up His ego by showing people how wrong they are or how smart He is. God is interested in taking us where we are and strengthening us, even in our weakness. And you can refer to 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 for that. Finally, He'll never retreat from His goal. Verse 31 of Romans 8. He'll never retreat from His goal. What then shall we say in response to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? As it is written, For your sake we face death all day long, and we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither what's present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So what is his goal that he will never retreat from? Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. He's never going to stop until it's perfected. He won't. And even if you feel that your faith is weak, it's in the process of being strengthened by the Lord. For he himself said, it is God who works in you, both to will and to act according to his good pleasure. And he who began a good work will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So you can say, as you sit here today, God is in the process of perfecting my faith. But I'm weak. Yeah, you are. But he's committed to strengthening you in your weakness. I don't feel like I'm a very good son to God. That's okay. You are a son, and he will strengthen you. So what am I to do? Thank the Lord. And interpret everything that happens to you as his means of making you more like Jesus and preparing you to live in his house. Always the two things that God is doing. He's helping to draw you closer to strengthen you and prepare you for living in his house. That's what he will always do. So interpret everything in those terms. Okay, so yesterday, Shirley and I are coming back from the grocery store. We're coming down County C, coming south, or going north on County C. I like to go to country roads to come home because the more traffic's on the road, the more uncomfortable I feel. So if we didn't have any interstates, I'm totally fine with that. And if we don't have any four-lane roads, I'm totally fine with that. Now, I know, Brother Lowell, it used to take you 8 hours to go see your brother up north when we didn't have an interstate. Now, what, 4.5? About half that time? Okay. So I like to get off the beaten path a little bit. Well, yesterday, I was glad that I was off the beaten path. We're coming north on County C, and we're humming along at just under the speed limit. Just under. Get to the top of the hill where highway, what is that highway that comes across the other way? King Road and C intersect. There's a great big irrigation pivot there. There's a seed company that has a field there, and they were watering their crop yesterday. Come up and right at Highway King on Highway C. I heard a loud bang. And the first thing I know, we're sliding sideways down County C. And it was one of these. Everything I could do to hang on to the steering wheel. Now Shirley said she was glad I was driving. I wasn't driving. I was trying to hang on. After the first slide sideways, I was sure we were going to roll. On either side, if you go back here and look, go out there and look, on either side, there is no shoulder. There's just a ditch on either side. And I was sure we were going in. I tried to correct, tried to keep some wits about me. And as soon as I corrected, then I overcorrected, and we were sliding sideways to the left. So we're going this way, and then we completely turn this way. We did that 5 times. And every time we slid to the other side, I thought we were going to roll it. I really did. The only thing I can remember saying is, hang on, honey. That's all I could say. I didn't see my life flash in front of my face. It wasn't like that. All I could see is the car rolling. Now, thankfully, it didn't. What had actually happened, as far as I know, is part of the hub, which holds the wheel to the car, had broken off. Not completely, so the wheel was canted at a 45-degree angle and then about a 30-degree angle out. So every time we tried to go, well, you couldn't stop going forward. You're going forward. It was just like it was jumping. It was hopping. And we were sliding all over the road. I'm just thankful we weren't on the interstate, because I'd have taken out all three lanes on this side and all three lanes on the other side. I could not have held the car. And I'm thinking, after we stopped and I gathered my wits about me and I realized, okay, Shirley's okay, I'm okay, nothing hurts anywhere, but the car is not going anywhere. All right. I thought, okay, Lord, what are you doing? I realize we just got word from the VA that they're going to help us with some costs. And the first thing you do is break our car. Now, hubs aren't terribly expensive, depending on what grade you get. We're talking 75, 80 bucks per wheel, Jeffrey, something like that, up to 100 and a half. Yeah. And then there's labor. Why do you guys have to get paid? Okay. Drew, do you know how to do that? Okay, maybe I'm going to take it to Drew's house. You don't charge, do you?
Not you.
Not me. Okay. They're not terribly expensive, but, you know, I'm guessing seven and a half, maybe. I'm going to have to do both sides. If one went bad, probably the other's gone bad too, or going to go bad. And I thought, oh, that expense. And then this fast, and it was the Spirit, I realized that, reminding me of something. Just last week, as we were starting to make plans of when we were going to leave to go see Lydia in Pennsylvania, and realizing that we had a vibration in the car, but we didn't know where it was coming from, I said to the Lord, well, you know, Lord, if this is going to be a problem, now would be a real good time to break our car. And he took me at my word and broke the car. But then I thought, we could have been in Chicago, and I'd have taken out four lanes of traffic. There's no way I could have held the car. But we'd have been going 70 instead of 55. We could have been in Cleveland. We could have been in Podunkville in northern Indiana. And the only people that could have pulled the car out of the ditch would have been an Amishman. We could have been all kinds of places and had much worse. God broke the car so we could fix it before we leave. And so what do we say? Well, the last verse in the psalm we read this morning to begin with. Praise the Lord. Now, you can look at all of the events in your life and blame God for what he is or is not doing according to your standards. But I can tell you, he is trying to make you like Jesus. And though it hurts, he is not trying to be ugly mouth with you. He is trying to strengthen your weaknesses and make you like Jesus. And so when I go talk to Steve at Balfour, I will be rejoicing that Shirley and I weren't going to be on the side of the road in Chicago at 6 in the morning and trying to figure out what in the world are we going to do. Because he's got it all taken care of. Now it looks like after all of these years and what I've been through the last year, I would have been smart enough to get that figured out. But I'm frail just like everybody else is frail. And I can think ugly thoughts. But I try to take truth and sift through all of that and push out the ugly stuff and praise God for whatever's coming. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. God is in charge. And so as you experience the things that you experience, trust God. Trust God. He's never going to reject you. Ever. He's never going to recall or rescind your sonship. He is never going to recoil from your weaknesses. He will never change his goal, which isn't to harm you, but it's to make you more like Jesus. Let's trust him for that.